Father God, thank you so much for sending your Son to the cross, Lord, so that we can stand here today as a gathered body and praise you. God, what a blessing it is to have a God who interacts with us, who's in our lives, Lord, who's an advocate for us. Lord, as we come upon this time of communion, God, I ask that you just bless these words, Lord, bless this time and help us just come closer to you in our love and service of you. In your name, amen. So in recent months, I've heard the word evil quite a bit. People at work were talking about it when Adam Lanza went on that rampage in Newtown, Connecticut. I heard there's a special place in hell for that guy. Last week or 2 weeks ago, when Lance Armstrong was talking about his cheating, the word came back up again. When he was talking about the lives that he had ruined, people called him evil. I seldom hear that word referred to in the first person. Very seldom do I hear anyone call themselves evil. But I think Scripture might teach us something different. Let's turn to Romans 2, verses 5 through 8, and look at how God looks at us. It says, because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each person according to his deeds. To those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath and indignation. So we will be judged, and there will be two choices. There will be those who seek good and those who obey unrighteousness. Those who will be good or evil. There's not a scale that says if you're not too bad, you're okay. God will judge each person as one of two things, good or evil. So it's important to know what category we fall in. It's important to know what category you fall in. Let's back up a little bit in Romans. Let's go to the page to the left and look at Romans 1, verses 28 through 32. And Paul tells us a little bit about where we belong. As you turn there, let me note that the they in this passage is a reference to the unrighteous, the ones that stand as evil. As I read this, spend a moment examining the entirety of your life. Has there ever been a moment where one of these has crept into your life? Was there ever a moment when the perseverance in doing good waned? If even for a moment, maybe you are in that moment right now. Verse 28 starts, and since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. Those counted as evil were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossipers, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but they give approval to those who practice them. Well, I'm not that bad. I'm not a murderer, right? We are that bad. At some point, we have been disobedient to parents. You have been foolish. You have been full of envy, strife, and deceit. We are all liars at some point. We are all evil. We could all stand next to Adam Lanza at judgment and deserve the exact same place in hell. This is what makes this time in our service so beautiful. We're here with a piece of a cracker and a cup of juice because Jesus told us to remember him. We're here to remember 2 Corinthians 5, 20 and 21, where it says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he, God, made him, Jesus, to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You may have heard the term substitutionary atonement before, you may not. But the crux of the gospel, the crux of what we're celebrating right now, is that we are going to die. And that followers of Jesus, those that do not see fit to acknowledge him, and those that do not see fit to acknowledge him, deserve judgment. However, Jesus, being that eternal and perfect God, has received that punishment for those that would believe. And Jesus will serve as that substitute. No sin will go unpunished. No, Jesus took the punishment by becoming sin. And now we can celebrate the day when we can stand before God with an advocate, the one that became sin for us. What a glorious day that'll be. How do we know that we have this advocate? Because he is the master of our lives here on earth. So we come to the communion table, and we need to know who this is for. We need to know who should partake. The table is for a Christian who is currently living, who's currently not living in known, ongoing, unrepentant sin. So if you are living in known, ongoing, unrepentant sin, we ask that you repent today and partake with us. Otherwise, please let the elements pass by. If you are one that rejects Jesus as your substitute and master, we're glad you're here. But I'd like to ask you to take this time to consider the perfect and holy God and where you stand before him, and let the elders' elements pass by. If you have more questions, please see me after the service or one of the elders. We'd love to talk to you about it. All others, please go ahead and take communion on your own tonight.